And that's what we all interested in today, a brand new life. And really, today is Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. And we say to him, we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you. Now, they're celebrating it the 19th, but we are saying happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King today. He gave his life so that we could be free. A lot of young people today don't understand it, but he gave his life so that we could be free. And not only did he give his life, but he encouraged others to do the same thing. And some young people today don't quite understand, you know, how the struggle was. And black and white, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, was caught up in the vibrations of freedom in America. And today, as we look around, we see so many young black people who don't understand what the price that has been paid, the blood that has been shed. Some of them don't even realize that there were years ago that I remember people getting killed, lynched, just because they wanted to vote, who could not vote. And now our young people have great opportunities, have great jobs, and sometimes we forget the older people who caused it to happen. I was in a restaurant last night, and I saw a young man come in, and he was talking with a Chinese gentleman. And they were talking about, he was asking questions, so of course I couldn't help but overhear. You know, I wasn't trying to. He was talking about the welfare system and the system in the nation. And he was saying, he says, but one thing I've noticed about America, he said, the people do not respect their seniors, their senior citizens, and especially us. We used to respect older people, but now we don't respect anybody. And the older people are the ones who caused it all to happen. They paid a price. And they have, they say, in the Orient, they call their senior citizens treasures. They refer to them as treasures. And we do not do that. But the Lord will always respect and prosper a people who will take care of the women, who will take care of the children, and who will take care of their seniors. And we have a lot to learn from this. So we are saluting, and we are grateful. We are grateful to Dr. Martin Luther King's wife. Here's a woman who has lived for years, could have been with her husband. His children, who didn't have a father, could have been with their father. But he gave up that. He was caught up in the ecstasy of freedom for you and for me. And you know, I'm glad about it. And I thank him, and I'm appreciative today for that good. We are still talking about prosperity. And I received a card from Love Looney, one of my members, and it was the 20th Psalms, a part of it, and it started like this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the Lord, God of Jacob, defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Shelah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. The assurance of God's saving work, as the 20th Psalms. And for those of you today who could be a little bit upset. Now, you know, let me explain something to you. We talk about the unlimited power of God. And in the next minute, we limit him. Let me explain something to you. Just because the nation or the world is in trouble, just because if you are in business, every business that is doing similar business to yours is in trouble, just because seemingly your family members or somebody down the street are in trouble, that's no sign that you are in trouble. What I want to say to you today is that there is a power and a presence that's unlimited. Now, sometimes we think the power is in the world. If you notice here, he says, some trust in chariots, things is moving fast, seemingly going somewhere, and some in horses, horses meaning power. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. So if this is your day of trouble, I am thanking the Lord right now for answering you in your day of trouble. You know, I still say, and it's hard to see it. It's hard to conceive it. It's hard to perceive it. But let me say this to you. I know what you're going through because it happened to me. God is an unlimited God. If you can just get yourself out of the way. I told you how I was just running around from pillar to post, just praying and over anxious and ready to give up and ready to do everything. When we had really our decision to make about WQBH. And how you, I never will forget, Reverend Holly, that's one of our listeners. That's not the Little Rock Reverend Holly, one of our listeners, called up and said, Queen, the Lord is going to do something. And there were different ones who prayed an intercessory prayer. And the moment that they kept praying, the prayers touched my mind to let me know that God is able. When you are facing a payroll of $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month, when you are facing expenses up in the thousands, you wonder about it because you cannot see yourself where you are going to make ends meet. You can't make ends meet. But God can make a meet. What the Lord was trying to do with me, as I say, try to do with you, when we get to be businessmen and women, we think we are moving and taking care of business on the business level. So we try to use all of the necessary ways of business, the principles of business, how you are judged and how you've been taught how a good businessman or good businesswoman is. We follow all the rules and all the regulations. All the rules and regulations that had happened before, all I could hear was, it can't happen. You are an AM standalone radio station. It can't happen. It can't happen on Grand River. If you had your church in another area, someplace else, you would get better people. It can't happen on Grand River. People will tell you it cannot happen because they don't mean any harm. As far as they are and where they are looking from, it can't happen. And when I heard so many people tell me it couldn't happen, then I was forced, because most of the good things that I've ever experienced in my life has not been because of choice. It's been because of force. Force from God, making me see, loving me so much, will just not let me be a fool. Now, I'm learning. In 1987, I have learned. I learned through 1986. And what have I learned? I learned that I don't know anything. I don't know anything about anything. I learned that I am not trying to know anything about anything, and nor anybody. What did I learn? I learned to let go, because all that I thought I knew, all the people that I thought I knew, who might have helped me, didn't. So what did I say? Lord, Lord, let me tell you something. I don't know anything, don't want to know anything, can't do anything, don't want to do anything, wouldn't want to get up in the morning if I had to get up and you were not there. So let me tell you, you got me. I've tried everybody else. I've given myself to everybody else. I've given myself to people. I've given myself to boyfriends. I've given myself to business deals. I've given myself to friends, and I've given... And look what happened. So now look, I am giving myself to you. Now, here I am. I'm an open book. Just do with me, guide me, direct me with however you choose. And I will say praise you. And the moment I said that, I felt a freedom. My shoulders weren't bent down low. I know somehow it's going to be all right. You see, this is a nothing too hard for God year, because I have a new life and my mind is made up. I'm on my way up, holding my head up, going on with the Lord. So this is my nothing too hard for God through me year. This is my new life in my spirit, my mind, and my body, and all of my affairs. This is the shaking down of the old impacted negation. And this is the releasing of the freedom of a new spirit. This is the acceptance of the Spirit of God working in me, through me, for me, and for you. And this is a time of not getting hung up on things that don't matter anyhow, because God is a nothing too hard for God, God. Now, I say this to you because if you get up praising Him, if you get up saying, Jesus Christ, my friend, Jesus Christ, my Lord, Jesus Christ, my friend, my Lord, if you get up saying it, meaning it, lullabying your very soul to pull out the gentleness of the flowering essence of your being, hallelujah, then you can let God work through you. You see, when I was riding down that expressway, He gave me my song. Then I was riding in another direction on the expressway, and He told me, look, Queen, I've told you that I am an unlimited God, and what you're talking about is not a snap. That little stuff you worrying about, those little pennies you talking about, I could change that in a split second of a moment, and did it. So if you're in a business today that seems to be standing up, looking at you, saying it can't happen. You walk through your business today and say to your business, the Lord is my shepherd. I have no need. And in the 20th book of Psalms, the first verse, may the Lord answer you. I say to you today, I bless you today, those of you in business. I bless you today that you're making your payroll. I don't care who you are. I bless all of you. I heard somebody say, well, will you bless those who don't necessarily like you? Yes. I'm going to bless you too if you're in business. I'm blessing you because God is a pure, when God blesses, God is a pure blesser. He blesses in a pure way. So I'm blessing all of you who hear my voice today, who believe that I can bless you. Hallelujah. Who believe that the power of God is working through me to bless you. Who are believing now that I speak into the universe right this very moment that you are now making the sales you need to have the money you need to take care of the situations you need to overcome the problems you have right now. May the Lord answer you, and I'm accepting him right now, answering you as he answers me. When you're in trouble, those of you who are in trouble in your minds because somebody rejected you or left you alone or somehow you can't see your way out, you can walk through your house today because that's your business. You can walk through your church today or your mission today because that's your business. You can walk on the streets, on the highways and the byways because that's your business. And you can say, Lord, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, those of you who were at the Kern block that was called the Queen's block, the 31st of December when we had our victory rally, you know what you are to do today. You know that you are going to stand up and defy every negative thing in your house. You know that what you're going to do to sweep out everything negative in your house, and you know what we told you to do. It seems in the city of Detroit that the death angel is just riding around, flying around everywhere. You know, when the Lord gets tired of a people, when the Lord gets tired of a stiff-necked people who won't obey him, to show you how unlimited he is. You see, this God I talk about is something else. All he'll do is send a death angel in, and he'll beat us down now. But I'm saying, Lord, you don't have to do that for me. Oh, hallelujah, I'm looking for life today. I'm looking out for life. I'm looking out not only for life, but a new life. I'm looking up, holding my head up, I'm going on with you. And you don't have to do anything because I'm going to obey you. Believing in you today, knowing that it's all right. Praising your holy name. You see, after every destruction in history where the Lord was involved, and the Lord has been involved in them all, somebody have always been saved. I was talking to my fisherman how you said Noah and the ark. And after Noah cried out to the people and he got everybody in the ark, the folks didn't believe him. In case Noah would get weak and want to open the ark's door for somebody else to come in, the angel locked the door and took the key, saying, it is not now in your hands, Noah, is in God's hand. There are some situations in the city of Detroit that will happen in 1986, 87, has happened as a carry-on that is not in your hands nor mine, or no spiritual person will be able to come forth. As he said in Jeremiah, he said, don't even pray for the murderers and the thieves and the liars and the whoremongers. He said, don't pray for them because I will not hear them. I will not hear your intercessory prayer for them. But for those of you and us who know that God is good, there will be those all around you falling down, but God's going to keep you centered in the hollow of his hand. What can you do? Praise him. Anytime you're tempted with food or with drink or with drugs or with alcohol or with sex or with whatever, greed or with lust, Jesus Christ, my friend, Jesus Christ, my Lord, Jesus Christ, my friend, my Lord. That's all you got to do. Sing it. Sing it out from the hilltops, from the very hollow of your soul, so that you will be able to overcome and be able to be protected from everything. Nothing negative will come nigh thee. Young people today and people are being turned over to reprobated minds. I received a letter from a lady who said, I had to write you because somebody killed somebody in her family. She said, if people acted like animals because they've been turned over to a reprobated mind. Some of these people you're dealing with, they are not human beings. They are animals. Because the Lord have withdrew his spirit from them. But in the midst of all of this, don't let the factory, the threat of the factories closing. I'm reminded when they told me that Chrysler was going to be closed. And John, senior son of God, John Boyd, and Charles New Porter, and Junior Elder Mother Margaret, and those who, Happy Rashid, who worked at Chrysler, they came. And we call a citywide prayer that they come in and pray. And from that prayer, Lee Iacocca was born. Don't you tell me about God. Oh, I know we never get the credit for that. No, we're not looking for the credit. He might not even know. But from that prayer, Lee Iacocca was born. You hear me? Because God will hear your cry. And God will send you a king, a leader, or a queen. That means he will send somebody in authority who know how to do something to get things going. Same thing with General Motors, Ford, and all the rest of them. We need a God-sent man. We need a God-sent woman. We need God-sent people. So be not dismayed, whatever tide. Don't get despondent today, but if you have been grinning in your friends' faces and they can't help you, then step back, turn around, and follow the path of the Lord, the one that told you that he will be there in the time of trouble. And David said, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Hallelujah. May he remember all the things you've done, your offerings, and accept your burnt offerings. May he remember the times you helped people. May he remember the time you fed somebody when they were hungry. May he remember the time you've got an investment plan when you tithe to somebody, some minister, some church. May he remember the time that you gave somebody jobs and opportunity. Oh, hallelujah. And then all you got to say, I accept my good today from my God. Oh, hallelujah, may the Lord answer you. Hey, in the day of trouble, may he help you and send help to you from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings. And may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Hallelujah. Hey, all right now. I bless you today because you got a new life going. Yes, you have.
Love. now, a special touch from the Queen.
Right now, we're going over to Dick Harris Cadillac, and I'm going to be talking to Eunice Franklin. And I want you to know that Eunice Franklin is the only black female general manager for a Cadillac dealership in the whole United States. And for her to be the first black female sales manager, if you know, her boss had to be a man that's sure of himself, and a man that's progressive, and a man that's feeling the vibrations of what's happening today, Dick Harris of Dick Harris Cadillac. So we just bless you today, and we are proud. You know, I know that you're a sales manager, but this is a history-making event.
That is right. God bless you. I love you, Queen.
God bless you, and I love you. How are you?
Just fine, dear, just fine. Thank you very much for saying all those great things about me.
And because you are the first black female sales manager with a Cadillac dealership in the United States, women especially, should come there and buy their cars so that you can make a good showing.
That is right. That is right.
Because if you don't make a good showing, you won't be able to stay there.
That's right.
But we know you are.
No,
but
we're overstocked. We've got to sell these cars.
Okay.
January, we've got to sell over 50 cars this month in order to make ends meet. Mr. Harris says, Eunice, get on the air and tell those ladies especially about the special purchases we have here at Dick Harris Cadillac. And that's exactly what I got to do.
So we got to sell some Dick Harris Cadillacs today.
That's right.
And you got to give me some good prices so that the folks can come in and buy it, because people got money.
That's right.
People got money now.
That's right.
People got the money. All right, let's hear about it.
Okay, we still have that 84 Ford Escort, Queen. That's that Escort wagon in a two-tone black and gray, the one that looks like the Seville. Last week we figured it at $59.95. I'm going to reduce the price of this car down to $49.95. It is an excellent car for a lady with children. It is, as I said, two-tone silver and black.
All right.
That's at $49.95. We have low mileage car that just came in. It's a 1983 Cadillac Fleetwood. It's a gorgeous dark brown with a tan interior. 26,000 miles. It's got the Astro roof, leather, wires. It is loaded. $12,995. That's today's special on that car.
All right.
Other special, we have a 1984. It's a Pontiac 6000 in a two-tone brown and tan. This is a sharp car. It has tan velour interior. It has your tilt automatic cruise luggage rack on the back. AM/FM stereo with a cassette, has 49,000 miles. Today's selling price on that car is at $79.95.
All right. Well, maybe it ended up at 69.
Yes. You remember what I did last week? I have to tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Winsher came right in right after the show was over and picked up that 85 Fleetwood Brougham. I just want to let you know.
Oh, so you sold that?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, now that's all right. God bless you. We love you. You're on the air.
God bless you, Queen. I love you, too.
How you doing?
I'm all right today, I guess.
Why?
Well, I was listening to the letter that you wrote, that you read earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning, you know, crime.
Yeah.
Plus, within the last 2 weeks, you've been talking about crime in the city. But I don't live in the city. I live in Inkster.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just as much crime there as it is, you know, here as it is there.
I know. He said there's crime. Black-on-black crime is, yes, is seeming to be everywhere in the country.
And what it is my family has become a victim of black-on-black crime. I lost my daughter on the 10th of January.
How old was she?
21.
I know that wasn't easy.
She was stabbed. And she, you know, her life is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was black-on-black crime.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's nothing that I can do about that to change that. That has happened. She has made her transition, and she has been laid to rest. What I want to talk about is my daughter was young, and she was in a hurry. I have heard all these mothers call in talking about their daughters are doing, just like, for instance, the lady a week or so ago talking about her daughter was with her
aunt, and her aunt was this and that and the other, and you took up telling her to let her daughter go. Well, my daughter was 21, and she was in a hurry to get back from whence she came.
Yes.
And as hard as it is, I have tried to get other people to understand this, and I have just stopped. So I thought if I talked about it, maybe somebody, some parent or some child might hear it and understand it. When you have a child that's in a hurry to just get out of that body that they are in, there's nothing you can do to stop it. I don't care how hard you try to try and hold the essence of that person to that body. You can't do it. Now, she was busy running forward, trying to go backwards. If you can understand what
I understand.
You know, and she made it clear to me that she didn't want to be here.
She wanted to be, was she on drugs?
No, she wasn't on anything. She was always this way. Always this way. As long as it took her 2 days to be born, she didn't want to come. And the older she got, the more I saw. You know, I knew I saw. I got help for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned how to be smart. You know, I tell the doctors what I want them to hear, and then I've got to go. You know.
Mm-hmm.
She could always manage to get in and get out. She was just like the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't hold the wind.
But you know, honey, the mere fact that she came, see, we believe that first we're spirit and then we are free will, mind. And she chose you, and she chose to come through you, and she chose to come here. There's something that she had to learn here. And as many times as she runs to try to get out of here, she's got to keep coming back till she learns it.
And you know,
so the mere fact that she came was the fact that there's something that's not finished.
What I said.
And if you're running to get away before you finish it, then you're running away from responsibility, and you got to come back again and do it all over again. So the best thing, so that because she was running away does not solve the problem. She was just a very highly initiated soul. But still one that has not yet completed the cycle.
And you know, it's like, you know, she would fly in the door. She would come in right quick. She would stay a few minutes. She would hug me and she'd kiss me. And she'd say, Mama, I love you. And I said, I love you too, honey. And she'd be gone just that quick. She said, I'll be back tomorrow. She may not show up for 2 weeks or 2 months. You know, but she was constantly on the move. You know, it was like she just had to. It was like...
But what was she into?
Just wanted to be free.
I mean, she... There are no such... But
no, it makes no sense at all.
I mean, when you say she wanted to be free, she didn't want to be under anybody's domain, I know, but she had to be involved in something, or with someone.
She was...
She wasn't running out there by herself now.
But most of the time, she was by herself.
Okay.
She was just going from place to place till she got tired of this place and moved. And it would be like, hey... You would think she was settled. You'd walk in and she'd be gone.
Did she have a boyfriend?
She had one, but she wasn't even with him.
And she was not on drugs or anything?
No, she was not on drugs.
Uh-huh.
That
How did she get stabbed?
She was stabbed in the neck.
How did she get stabbed?
Now, I was not there. Yeah. All I can say is what? Well, you know, he's in custody, so I don't know what I can say.
Oh, so a man did do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But... Knowing her, whatever it was, it had to be against her will.
Yes. All right.
Whatever it was, because she was very adamant about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very, you know, this is me. You don't, you know,
violate me.
Right. And she was not into anything that I know of that was illegal.
That you know of.
That I know of.
Okay.
And that I really believe, because she was always... You know, lucid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was never a time where she was, you could say, well, I have been exposed around drugs due to the nature of the way that I worked. So I knew when people were on drugs. I always knew that. But this was not her. It was like, I felt like she was just pulling and pulling on her own body, trying to get out of it.
Well, We accept that, and I'm glad that you are understanding and with enough divine wisdom to understand that and accept. Because as you talk to me and as I talk with you, I feel no sadness in this transition. I don't feel any sadness. I don't feel any hurt. You know how sometimes you feel sadness? I don't feel any sadness. So it was not a sad occasion.
It was like, to me, it was like she welcomed it.
Well, how are you feeling today about it?
Well, I mean, I've always felt that.
You got any other children?
Yes, I have three more.
Okay. Are you?
And plus, I have her son.
Uh-huh.
She's left a child here. But you know what, Queen? I have listened to these women trying to hold on to these daughters, and I can hear it in their voices that their daughters was like mine. They didn't want to be under their jurisdiction. They wanted to do what they want to do. They wanted to get out there and rip and run. They just had to go. It's just something out there that they just think is out there, and it's not. And these women are busy doing... I heard one woman when she was talking about her daughter was living with her drug addict sister.
Yeah.
I said, and you could constantly kept telling this lady to let that child go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my child would climb out the windows and leave him up, and we'd be in the house sleeping. She'd go out the doors, leave the doors open. We'd be in here sleeping. This is 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. So we don't even know she's gone. And I said to myself, you know, one day I sat down and I cried and I cried and I said, Lord, what have I done to my child? Why? What have I done to make my child this way? And it was like the Lord told me, you haven't done a thing. This is just the way this child is. So you just wipe your eyes and just let it go. So I was listening to you one day, and I said, I asked the Lord to spare her life and save her soul. He had his way of sparing her life, and I told him, thank you for accepting her soul.
Yes.
I said, because if these women will sit and listen to you when they have these daughters that's on the run, they will make you crazy if you let them.
And broke and unhappy and sick.
And miserable. They will have your children, the children that you have with you. It will just about destroy
for them.
It will tear your house apart.
They'll take your husband if you got one.
They take them away.
Oh, they'll tear you up, honey.
They will destroy you if you let them.
If you let them.
If you have a child that's like that, any of you women out there, if you know you got a child like that, you just sit down and be honest with yourself and ask the Lord to take care of them.
Yes.
Because there's nothing you can do.
Release them and let them go.
But just sit down and just let them go and ask the Lord to save their lives and spare them.
That's right.
Save their soul.
That's right.
And then if anything happens, do like I did. I always felt it in the back of my mind. She was going to run until she ran into what it was she needed to do to get out of that body. I did not want it to be that way. Lord knows I did not. That hurt me.
I know.
My child. That way, because I felt like nobody has the right to play God and take another's life.
Yes.
But yet and still, I had to look at it in another way. You know God works in mysterious ways. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yes.
Maybe that was his way of bringing her home and preventing this from happening to someone else's child.
Yes, well, maybe so.
You know, I have to do it that way in order for myself to function and
yes.
keep on going, because I got to take care of this baby that she left here.
And those other children got to have time.
I have three more daughters. My baby is 15 years old.
Yes.
I just say she my baby because she the youngest. But my young lady is 15 years old, and I loved every last one of my kids, and I'm proud of my kids. I'm proud of her, too. But she just had her way of running till she had to get to where she had to go.
All right.
And after, I didn't even know she was gone. But something in me, I could hear her voice saying, Mama, I love you.
Isn't that a blessing?
And I'm all right. It was just like I knew she was gone, but I did not have any confirmation.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know it, but I could hear her saying, I'm all right now, Mama, I'm all right.
All right.
And it made me step back because I kept saying, baby, you just hold on till I get there. And it was like she was saying, well, Mama, I'm all right, I'm all right. And it was just like she just kept right on going.
Uh-huh.
Like she was busy still going.
Uh-huh.
And you know, like she was free like she wanted to be.
Right.
And I felt like wherever she is, and I know her soul is in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah.
She's free.
Yeah.
Free of whatever it was. It's like she finally got to the end of that road that she was running on. And now she can stop and just roll with the wind.
Praise the Lord.
So, you know, this is for all of these mothers that think they can prevent these sons and daughters from their affairs. from being the way that they are. You can't.
No.
It ain't nothing you can
do. The best you can and let the rest to the Lord and go on about your business.
Yeah, and once you let them go, stop getting up and going back and snatching them out of his hands, thinking, well, he ain't doing it the way you think it ought to be done.
Right.
Because he going to do it the way he know it's got to be done. You cannot turn him over and then go and get him back.
That's right.
And I finally turned her over, really, in my heart, and told him, she in your hands. That was it. Mm-hmm. I didn't go back and try to pick her up no more.
Right.
And dust her off anymore.
Right.
And put them pieces back together and try to make her do what I know she wasn't going to do.
Yeah, well.
And I let her go.
Right.
And that's what the rest of these mothers got to do. And these hard-headed kids out there that think they can find the slick way to go, ain't no slick way to go. It's just not.
That's right.
If they don't want to pay attention, just go head home and leave them alone.
That's right. Release them and let them go.
That's right. You love them, you let them go, and that's it. And you keep on loving them. You don't stop loving them because you're not.
You can't stop loving them.
But you just let them go.
Well, I thank you for sharing that with us, and I bless you today, and you've encouraged our hearts.
Thank you.
And we are praying with you and your family and this daughter's son. We just bless you today with prosperity in all of your affairs, perfect health, happiness, joy, peace, and just a new beginning this year. I love you.
I love you.
And for that mother and for all mothers who've lost young people because they just had to have it their way, let's sing our little song. Jesus Christ, my friend. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, yes. Jesus Christ, my friend. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Jesus Christ, my friend. My Lord. Jesus Christ, my friend. Jesus Christ, my Lord. Jesus Christ, my friend. Children, my Lord, protect them from themselves, my Lord. I especially am touching Maurice King. Maurice King, one of the greatest musicians in this country, in this world. One of the men who helped make Motown, Motown. And his cousin, Nero. But Maurice King, I had an opportunity to talk with both of them yesterday, and I'm just blessing him with a new dimension of all good in his world. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching him now.
Just to thank the following persons for their consideration and concern: G. Glenetta Tyson, Lillian P. Tarr, Thomas V. Houston, Ed Henry, Bernadette Webb, and Sharon Vanner.
There you go, and we're going to open up our telephone lines again. God bless you. I love you. You're on air.
God bless you too, Queen. What I called to tell you is last week you didn't play my record 2 times in a row, okay? We did not sing Jesus Christ, my friend, Tuesday and Wednesday. I was very disappointed.
Well, I will never do that again.
Okay, and my sympathy goes out to the lady who just called. And I wanted to tell you, you made a statement the other day about going with a married man, and you will not prosper. And I want to tell you from experience, you're right. You will not prosper, and it comes from your own behavior.
That's right.
And because I was in a relationship like that for several years, and it seemed like the more I got, the broker I was. You don't get anything, and I just wanted to share that with you and let you know that you're right.
That's right. I know I'm right. And I'm glad, I'm glad you, as a young woman, is confirming that.
Well, it took a while to get out of it, but I finally had to, you know, I got a way to get out of it, and everything is all right now.
Well, don't you ever do that again.
I won't. Believe me, I won't.
All right.
Somebody single or something, but not married.
Nobody married. And nobody was shacking up with no woman that they're acting like they're married.
No, because if they care something about you, they'll marry you anyway.
That's right, if you want them.
You don't need nobody else's nothing.
That's girl, say that again. Say that, baby, say that one more time.
You don't need nobody else's nothing.
Come on, sing my song. Jesus Christ.
Yes, my
song. Come on, my friend. Come on, honey, I got to sing that when you said that.
Jesus Christ, my Lord. Jesus Christ, my friend. My Lord, He is.
He is too, mine too, honey.
I love you.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. God bless you. We love you on air.
God bless you today, Queen.
How you doing?
Down at the current block. And I'm one that was standing there, and I heard you talking about Mother Mary, and I've heard you time and time again. So I began to question myself because I thought I really knew something when I didn't. So the Lord revealed a scripture to me in Revelation, the first chapter.
Read it to me.
It says, "And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever." And I couldn't quite cipher what it meant at first. And then as I thought about Mother Mary, this thought came to my mind in this particular verse. It doesn't make any sense at this point, but I'm sure that in time God will do some more revealing to me about Mother Mary through that particular scripture.
All right.
Because God does have a heavenly family, and Mother Mary is a part of that family. And today, if you would just stop and think about that verse, Queen, maybe you could help me with it.
All right. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm running out of time, but that's the first verse of Revelation.
Revelations 1 and 6.
1 and 6, and I'm going to get into it, and I'm going to go into it, and I'm going to get on it one day.
All right.
Was that all right?
Yes, and I accept your prosperity for this day today.
And I do, too.
All right, and God bless you, Queen.
I love you, and God bless you. God bless you. We love you. You're on air.
Praise the Lord.
How you doing?
Fine, and you? Great. I'm so glad I got you, Martha Jade. I've been listening to you going to and fro to work, and I get off work at 1 o'clock, so I listen to you when I come home from work. But anyway, I wanted to relate to that lady who was talking about her daughter had passed at the age of 21, and how she was on the run and things and doing different things, just going to and fro. And that brought me back into when I was a teenager and how the things that I did and the type of spirit that I did. You know, I left home when I was 13 years old, and I was just on the run like that. I didn't want to be under the supervision of my mother, and my father, he wouldn't take care of me. And so I was just out in the street living here and living there, just doing my thing, you know. And now I see a lot of, now I'm older now, I'm 27 now, and I see a lot of teenagers going through the same thing, just wanting to be out in the street and don't want to be under their parents' supervision and don't want to listen to what they say. But now, since I've gave my life over to Christ, I see different, how my sister, she has some teenage boys and what she's going through with them. And only thing that I can say to the older parents that have these children, that these children just going to and fro, is that, like the lady said, just let God, just give them over in the hands of God. And just let God work the situation out. Because you can't do nothing with them.
That's, yeah, well, you give them over to the Lord and don't take care of them. Now, when I give anybody over to the Lord, it's because I've done all I can do. I'm not giving somebody over to the Lord, and because he don't want me to give a disobedient mind to him, and then I give them to him and he fix them, then I'm going to come back and feed them and treat them like the kings and queens.
Right.
I'm going to withdraw all my support and let them go on to their maker. And that's what we got to do. Parents got to stop letting these children intimidate them to make them feel that they don't give them everything in the world, then they are not loved. See, years ago, when we were coming up, you were so hard trying to make it, you didn't have no time to be disobedient. But these children got too much time on their hands, sitting up doing nothing.
That's the problem. And parents will not teach them you got to teach a child. You got to tell a child you are wrong. And parents today are afraid to tell their children. They're afraid to tell their daughters they're wrong, afraid to tell their sons they're wrong. But honey, you got to have strength to love today. That's what Dr. Martin Luther King said on his birthday. You got to have strength to love. And sometimes, as you say, though, when you've done all you can do, then give them to Jesus. And then the Lord will take care of them. I reminded of a lady who wrote an article, and she said that every time she asked her daughter to do something, her daughter would be disrespectful. She didn't want to do this. She didn't want to do hostile. So her daughter hurried on up, and she got married, and she got a home family. And then her daughter was raised up, and her daughter was disrespectful and hostile toward her. It wasn't until she experienced it that she realized what was going on. So everything sent into the universe, you got to pay for it. But I'm glad you're a young woman who can see the way of being disciplined and obedient, and I bless you with prosperity. I bless you with happiness. I bless you with a beautiful, orderly, balanced life of joy.
Thank you.
And I believe God is going to give it to you.
Thank you.
And don't you let anybody in your family that's negative worry you. You step out now on your own new life and don't look back.
Martha?
What?
Or another thing I wanted to ask you. I had a dream the other night, and when I woke up, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, the dream, it was when I was young. And it was this two young men, myself and another young girl. We were on the field, and we were playing. And I had to go to the restroom. So the young lady went with me. And when I got in there, I wanted to drink a water. And so I got some water from out of the faucet. You know how you stick your head up under the faucet and get some water. And when I stuck my head under there, I was drinking some water. The young lady, well, the girl, she had was trying to force the water in my face. It seemed like she had a water hose or something, and she was trying to just, all this water just sprouting all over me, and I was trying to get away from her, but I didn't.
Do you do a lot of gossiping? Have you ever gossiped?
Yeah.
And sometimes you might do a lot of talk. You don't do as much as you used to do, do you?
No.
Well, you ever heard the saying, washing your mouth out with soap?
Yes.
Your face and your mouth and all around you was being spiritually washed. And you were in the bathroom because that denotes elimination. In other words, in your life, as I've told you when I was just trying to bless you, that you've had a lot of things that you've eliminated from your life and that you are in the process of eliminating from your life. And it is saying that there's a lot of gossip or interaction and conversation that you have been involved in that the Spirit of the Lord is just washing away, just washing it away. The feminine part of you, the feminine principle of you, the principle of love and intuition and all, of wisdom and good judgment is washing all of those masculine qualities, by that I mean harshness, away. Do you understand? And when that is washed away, then you can go into the field and run about amongst people free.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too. Bye.
Bye.